Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
This is a podcast about mom life, boss life, and body life.
Real conversations about self-discovery and the journey of becoming more mindful in this crazy Zen life.
Crazy Zen Life is back, and yes, that is Georgie in the background.
I love Georgie.
She is like my dog. I love her dearly, but oh my gosh. So today we were even like, okay, we're going to take what we learned from the previous episode. We're going to bring her little shocker clicker thing in. Don't send us emails. It's the only thing that works.
Right. Tested, and true.
And so we have this little shocker thing. So when she goes balls ass crazy, we, you know, and she calms down. And then Shannon's like, I need to plug that in.
Yep.
Her laptop, Shannon's laptop's dead.
I mean, all the electronics today in the house are kaput.
She just wants to be heard.
She really does. She's like, I have a voice, Mom.
She's like, no one wants to interview me.
Right.
I know how it all works in this house.
Baron took off like a half hour today. Like, the big black baked potato just like went scurrying out. I was like, all dogs. All dogs are on my nerves today.
I mean,
so here we go.
It's crazy. Oh,
but yeah. We're here with Bella again. If you guys recall, I think it was episode 12, Glitter Game Changers. I'll have to reference that, baby. Yeah.
I have no idea which one it was,
but yes.
It was in the, it was
one of the. I would be really impressed if you did. I'd be like, I don't even know.
Yeah. Only because I recently put the numbers on the episodes. I was smart. Like, yeah. So maybe like episode 12. So we're so glad to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry it was so complicated and just to like get all of our schedules in one time.
I'm just really glad that you shared our time. Yeah. This is great.
This is how this beast goes.
Yeah,
thank you.
So Bella is going to be talking today about some tips to grow your social media.
Yes.
Let me try that. Yeah. Social media. These words are not coming out today.
Social.
And social. And you have grown your company. So you have two Instagram accounts, correct? Or
A couple. So, yeah.
What garden do you water the most?
My personal,
for sure. And that's Bella of Louisville, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so that's how our Zen friends can find you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good page. It's very consistent. It's very it's very uplifting. It's
very insightful.
Insightful.
Thanks. It's not just a pretty picture. I mean, you get sucked in by the prettiness, and then you're like, oh, wow, this girl really knows, like, a lot of stuff. So it's,
thanks.
I love it.
That's what my goal is.
Yeah. So when you started doing more of the blog and Instagram, did you make have an idea of how you wanted it to flow, and is that important in growing your social media?
How I wanted it to flow.
The aesthetic, yeah. I guess you would say.
I think it kind of came over time. I started with another blog called Lou Bella Vita in 2010-ish, 2011, and it just focused on philanthropy in the city of Louisville. I kind of just never felt a really close connection to it. So I let it fade away. And then I started Bella of Louisville in 2014. Mm-hmm. At first, I was really heavy with a lot of quotes just because I'm a writer. So my images, I've deleted a lot of them from the beginning. So I'm like, that's bad. You know what I mean? Like, so I've gone through and edited some of it. Just that don't really fall in line with who I am as a person. And I feel like if you always use a lot of quotes on things, eventually there's some accounts that do really well, but I think if you're going to be one of those accounts, just post quotes or post it occasionally. But it's just mine were inconsistent with color. Like one would be red, one is white and black, and like, you know what I mean? So it's just there was never an aesthetic to it until probably 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you say that's step maybe number one, maybe to have an idea of your aesthetic or what you want to see overall arching color theme or?
Oh, absolutely. If you think about it from a marketing perspective, it's branding. So what do you want to look like? What is your, and you want your website to look somewhat like your blog as well, because the colors need to be reminiscent of. I had a client in Louisville and they were a salon and they had black and white aesthetics in their salon. So their social media is just black and white images with hair.
Okay.
And so it was, I think that that's really important to carry with you. And I think that you have to be representational across all platforms.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
So whatever your cross branding or cross, promoting, make sure that it's consistent.
Yeah. And I would try to, you can watch a lot of other bloggers and see what they do and kind of pick up on what you want to do and what you don't. I think a lot of people are falling into, there was an aesthetic going around, I think, last year, and it was like every other photo is a quote,
yes.
which is cute. Mm-hmm. And yes. I do, I mean, like occasionally I'm like, that works for that person, but I don't like it. I think it was overdone mm-hmm. a little bit. So I usually go with a lot of photos because, I mean, at the end of the day, Instagram was made for photographers.
Yes.
And for all of us just share photos. So I like to do, you know, a photo backed up and then, you know, up close and backed up and up close. And just like that stagger just visually, just because I think that it's more representational and it catches your eye when you're scrolling.
Very mm-hmm. engaging.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's very engaging.
Yeah.
I could say that. Okay. So do you treat Instagram, Facebook, and other platforms differently?
I do. I don't like using a lot of hashtags on Facebook, even though you can click on them and you can follow and you can do all of that stuff. I just, it doesn't feel organic to me. It kind of feels forced. And I'll, obviously, I mean, like, you know, on Instagram, you use like the dots to like separate your paragraphs or different things. On Facebook, you can actually space it out. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it's like, yeah. that's where if you share, I don't do the automatic share. I'll just, you know, post it to my Instagram, then pull up share and then edit it how I want it to look. And then I'll go over the Facebook page if I have to do any other edits. Mm-hmm. But you can then also tag a photographer or tag somebody else. And then, so mm-hmm. you have to treat that one different. I'm still back and forth with Twitter. So at moments I love it. And some days I'm like, I'm not touching that thing. I don't know. It's different, but I still use Pinterest and I use it a lot. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So with your, we'll say Instagram and Facebook accounts, mm-hmm. do you recommend linking the two or do you think it's beneficial because they are two different platforms that reach different audiences? Do you think it's a good idea to not use the same content? Maybe not coming out with like 100% new content for, you know, one or the other, but,
I think you can still use the same content. I think it just needs to be presented differently.
Okay.
What's the one point you would give to, like, if you're going to take what you shared on Instagram, maybe how you would reformat it for Facebook? What tweaks would you do?
So yesterday, I think I'd made a post. Now I'm going to go check out my own account. I'd made a post about going to New York for treatment. And so the way that it looks on my Instagram account, it's all together. There's a lot of things pushed around. And then, I mean, if you click on it, then you start to see all the hashtags and different things.
Mm-hmm.
I did the exact same thing on Facebook. I just spaced out.
Spaced it out.
Yeah.
So it's more readable.
Correct.
Ready and ready.
Well, I think the audience is very different. It is. Mm-hmm. It's an older demographic on Facebook, so they want to see that original format. And mm-hmm. I think it's easier for them to follow and identify with rather than all in one thing. It's mm-hmm. just, I think that's like our generations and millennials and everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all getting used to, but you still have to cater to people above.
I feel like it even took a while for the long worded format to come into Instagram. And
yes,
for a long
did.
Time, it was just one or two or sentences, and then you had to be done.
Done. Yeah.
And now it's like, I can read a novel under a caption. Like,
yeah.
There's so
you
many
know what?
Things.
That's yeah. so true. I will sit there and read a caption.
Mm-hmm.
Far I mean, more often than I ever would.
It's mm-hmm. a story, too. Mm-hmm. It's, you mm-hmm. know, there's a whole thing that goes into it. And I'm like, man. And I don't know what, I mean, I don't know why I'm like, conditioned now, I'm like, it's okay. I can sit here and do this. You know, this mm-hmm. is fine to do. Whereas
I read books now yeah. on Instagram.
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's yeah. hilarious.
It's true.
Yeah.
So I know people have a lot of questions about one key topic of Instagram. It's hashtags. Can you give us a couple pointers on how you hashtag and why it's so important?
So Shannon mm-hmm. and I were actually just talking about this before. So I think number one, right whenever you get started, use your own hashtag, whatever your company name is. And be consistent with it to always have it as your first or second one. I think first is always better, but sometimes I also then I'm like, that looks egotistical. So I'm going to change it. And then I'm like, I don't have it on there. Sorry, I'm dropping my phone.
That's okay.
I would say to get creative and to use hashtags that work. You know, I was in a presentation once and a girl said that, you know, when you post, use, you know, hashtag pants, hashtag shirt. And I'm like, I have a very different approach. And so that's when you have to have that conversation. And I think that also whenever you're building, you'll see the hashtags at work and you can follow them and you can see how people are using them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Instagram at the end of the day, if you study it long enough, you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I know that the algorithm is always changing mm-hmm. with Instagram. What is one of the ways that you feel like, if you're saying you study Instagram, what's one thing that you would say look for? Outside of hashtags, because I feel like you can search a hashtag and...
For sure. I try to follow different people that I actually try to keep up with in life, or authors, or different things. Mm-hmm. That's my genre. So I think it's just... I would look and see the people that you look up to and who's a brand that you identify with or that you want other people to emulate with you, mm-hmm. Just so that you can stay in that same, category without being totally, drifted away from what you actually wanted to start to do. So, mm-hmm. You have to be careful almost with hashtags, too, because you don't want to just use anything that sticks. You know what I mean? Because then eventually you have to then click through and be like, has anybody used this in a negative way?
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's different.
So if you don't have this large budget mm-hmm. or a large amount of time to mm-hmm. devote to getting these pretty pictures made, how would you suggest someone start to build their picture library up to post on Instagram? Because that is what it is. It's visual based.
Correct.
And that's what keeps you in the app is the visual. So what are some pointers for our listeners for that?
I think if you don't have a camera, which, I have one, but I also don't use it for anything. If I ever have to take a photograph of myself, wipe your lens is first tip. Second tip, I would get one of the spider little
tripods.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you can put on your desk. You can put them anywhere. Worst case scenario, if you don't have one, use some books. Use whatever. Prop your book up or your phone up. And then I would turn it on video, and it's going to feel weird, but... try different angles and record yourself. And when you go into a pose, pause. And then you'll know later you can go back and watch that video, hit pause, and then take a screenshot, and that's your photo.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. When you said wipe your lens, I remember maybe a couple years ago you came in to Primp to take some pictures, and you had a microfiber cloth, mm-hmm. and you're like, you should always wipe with the microfiber. I'm like, it's genius. Because sometimes, I try it with my shirt, and I'm like, it's so smudgy. Why is it so smudgy? Yes. And you're like, microfiber. I'm like,
Allison Myers taught me that. Genius. And ever since she said it, I was like, you are the most intelligent woman I've ever met.
Right. Yeah. It really does.
It changes your life.
It really does. Yeah. Wipe your lens.
Yeah.
Wipe your lens. Clean your creases, wipe your lens.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
All these things.
Yeah. All the things.
And once you have your screenshot, mm-hmm. what editing apps do you use?
I like Afterlight a lot. I don't like using a lot of editing things, but I do like Facetune, especially if you're doing food shots. Don't tell. I'm sure Allison, my other friend, is much better at it, but then you can sharpen up your noodle or mm-hmm. whatever. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right.
With a salon, I've done where I can define their hair a little bit better. I think gotcha. That, so Facetune's good, and I think the people that originally pushed that was the Kardashians, so that's funny. Mm-hmm. But I do like Afterlight a lot. I know a lot of people like VSCO. I mm-hmm. haven't really fallen into it. I used it a lot at the beginning, but now I don't get into it so much.
It's really expanded. I kind of fell down a hole the other day with that. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, I can go in deep here. Yeah. Okay. It's just like Lightroom. You can just get lost. Yes. And so... Yeah.
I do that with hashtags. Usually I'm 5 hours later, I'm like, how did I get here? Where are we?
Where am I at?
Yeah.
What's your favorite hashtag right now that you're... Ooh. When you click on, you're like, ooh, this is exciting.
Moody Grams, always.
Moody Grams.
I think of you. I always think you're like the moody, deep post.
Thanks, I am. But sometimes it's like, I'm sure people are like, too emotional.
Well, I don't care.
You know what I mean? But then somebody will write me and they're like, thank you. And I'm like, yes, okay. Thank
if
you.
Someone,
you're my audience. This is great.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's what people need. I feel like it's that deep connection. It's what you're there for. I love it. So it's too many times. I hope you never stop doing that. Yeah. So you just mentioned Pinterest, which, people think it's like an archaic, antiquated way to promote your brand, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing not. Can you tell us about that?
I like it so I do a lot of fashion shoots to attract people on Instagram with my verbiage, but I use it a lot on Pinterest just as the album. I have the photographs already, so why not go ahead and put them out there and use them? Mm-hmm. And then, as a blogger, then see other blogger stuff, they see yours, you follow each other. So I haven't really ever monetized mm-hmm. Pinterest ever. I know that you can, but mm-hmm. I haven't done that.
Have you seen a lot of traffic to your blog from Pinterest? Is there a way that you've tracked that?
I haven't tracked it. That's bad.
I was like, that's our sit-down. Pinterest now is one of those, it's a platform that, I was just listening to an article about this the other day, and it's where most apps want to keep you in the app, mm-hmm. Pinterest is a DIY. They want you to do things. So it's like get in and they want you to get out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's interesting because I fall down the Pinterest hole very often. Mm-hmm. When you look at Pinterest, it's things that you do. So things that you're cooking, your outfits you want to try, it's yoga mm-hmm. poses. It's, you know, so it's a very much a movement-based or doing-based platform.
That's true.
And I thought when I looked at that, I'm like, that's really interesting. I'm not going there for financial advice.
No.
You know, yeah, I'm going there for things that I'm actually going to use and want to do.
I call it the hierarchy of execution. So, because mm-hmm. they want you to rate stuff, that's what they push into the top. So that's like, if you executed this, we're going to push this to the top and it succeeded for you, and mm-hmm. we'll put that there. That's how I kind of put it in my brain. Mm-hmm. So if I scroll down too far, I'm like, oh, no, this hasn't been tried and true. I'm going to stay towards the top because yeah. those are things that have been rated.
Yeah.
Of course, again, deep holes. There's some deep holes.
The Pinterest hole.
Yeah. I know. The Pinterest hole is deep. I would love to get more into it, but I just look up recipes most of the time.
I always do challenges. So right now I'm doing a fitness challenge just with myself. Each day you do different things. Because remember how I told you I'm bad at, doing a yoga pose and going through the whole mm-hmm. thing on my own. So I did that. And then I did download a yoga app, but I haven't used it as much.
Yeah. It's really tricky to find, because when you're in a studio, you're mm-hmm. in that mode, in that zone, and you're with 40 other people that may be in that zone mode, and you're like, oh, okay, we're doing this together. But if you're mm-hmm. solo, you're like, well,
yeah,
I can sit here and watch the British Baking Show instead.
mm-hmm. Yes. Very easy. We always say the in-home practice comes after you've found a yoga community. Take some classes, mm-hmm. know the postures, get familiar with how your body feels in what's supposed to be right, what the alignment's right. Because, you can feel something. You're like, oh, I've been doing this wrong my whole life. Huh. Well, I would have continued to be doing it wrong if no one would have been like, let's just tweak it this way. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then when you feel comfortable, then you can start going, to your home and go into your mat and be like, I know. I mean, I feel mm-hmm. like one of the worst things is when your phone is so small and you're trying a new pose and you're like, what? Am I cranking my... I shouldn't be doing this. This is not the alignment that they want me to be doing.
For sure.
And if you don't know the verbiage, you're like, well, what the hell does that mean?
I feel like we're one step away from Alexa, calling out some yoga poses.
Yeah.
can you just see that happening? Because you're sitting at your phone. Power vinyasa, please. And she's like, okay.
Yes.
Sit in Shavasana.
Oh, that sounds just like it when you said, okay.
Here's what I found for Shavasana.
Yes.
Lay down for 5 minutes. Inhale and exhale.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Thanks, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Coming out with that next month. Yeah.
You're welcome, America.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So we talked about things that can help grow. What are mm-hmm. some things that you would recommend not doing?
Ooh. Ooh. So I fell into it this past year, of accepting any company that wanted to work with me, because I was like, yeah, I just want to get my name out there. Why not? I don't see mm-hmm. the problem. And I did grow. But it was, at the end of the day, if you take a huge step back, it wasn't really being authentic with who I am or what I actually do and use. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's like some of it, if it's still on my Instagram, then that means it was real. But some of it, I was like, that was weird. So I'll just delete it and it no longer exists. I would say don't do things that aren't actually what you use and do. And even if it's a high, huge, company like J. Crew that you like and you're just going to pose in J. Crew, you're in tag J. Crew, eventually the people that like J. Crew will find you. Mm-hmm. And do other stuff or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I would just mm-hmm. stay true to yourself, because otherwise I think eventually it'll just feel kind of gross and weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gross and weird.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I totally like that.
Like, what's a forced fit?
It's cringy. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh, that's not. Yeah. That's not what I thought. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You want it to feel like it's part, an extension of who you are and your brand.
Correct. Yeah.
And if it's a forced button up, you don't feel that way.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think that and... I would just collaborate as much as you can. I think when people get really competitive, it's just like the people that are competitive, I'm just like, why are you like that? Like, I'm like, I know your following count. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, we're same. Like, you should be nice to me.
Right.
And even if it's somebody that's higher, I think that people have to be nice to each other. I think so. Wait, what you're not going to do is be mean to other people. I mean, it won't get you, I think, as far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you all know it's mm-hmm. girls. It's like girls have to unite and celebrate each other because the world is ready to knock us down and tell us what's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's all.
I think. But otherwise, I mean, you know, I would just stay authentic with everything that you can and be nice and kind and just do that.
And let it go from there.
Yeah.
Like not get too obsessed with the likes and the followers. And
yeah. I mean, you know, I was talking to Dr. Karen Freeberg, and she does social media and PR yesterday. We were talking about, you know, brands are starting to take a step back from everything and not even look at your follow count or your like count, but what you're actually influencing. Is it so when people are using all of these products and doing different things and it's not something that's actually being used by them, the comments that they get in different things, are they really activating a sell? Mm-hmm. So if you look at it from the company's point of view, it's a return on investment. Like, what do they get out of it? And if it's not a real thing, then why would they do it? So eventually, and I think that companies are starting to take a step back and just be like, hang on, are they activating a purchase or not? And if they're not,
right,
why am I doing this with that person? So. Yeah.
Oh, that's a key point. So engagement. Yes. Engagement and building your own little community.
Positive engagement.
Positive.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the negative effects of, you know, comments on social platforms that can tank a brand. I mean, and the weird thing, too, like the negative light that can reignite brands. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, all right. It just takes one hate and comment that sends everybody up.
Mm-hmm. Kids are home.
Okay.
That's... Okay. Let's see.
Cool.
Yeah, it's the best stop.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is so key today. I love that companies nowadays are kind of shifting their focus because it took a learning curve with social media. You had to take that learning curve. And it's an ever-evolving little beast.
It really is.
All marketing and advertising is. So it just always shocks me when people are like, I can't believe they put that out there. I'm like, really? Because, like, I can remember stuff in the 80s that was still groundbreaking. I mean, you know, pushing the limit is not new.
No. Right?
Yeah.
Not at all.
So, would you advise someone kind of pushing the limit on their social media?
In a certain capacity. I think that, you know, the number one thing that you don't want to do, you know, once you pass judgment, you lose influence. So, I don't think... you know, to be totally, I'm not saying to be like PC and moderate and just like chill. I mean, if your brand allows you to go extreme in a certain direction, whether it's religion, politics, whatever brand it is, if you want to show all your body, you want to cover it all up. I mean, I think whatever it is, as long as you just stay authentic within it, then you're doing really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I think it's really important too that people understand that you don't, your validation doesn't need to come from the amount of likes that you have on your social media account. That does not define who you are as a person, and it doesn't define your worth in what you can bring to the table.
No. I mean, at the end of the, like, so I started using this app called Cleaner because, so, like, I went and followed after that Kylie Jenner egg thing happened. I went out. Guys are gross, and then I'm like, ugh. Like, do you know what I mean? Oh, like, it's like, I'm like, this is not for you. I'm talking to the girls on this. Like, so I'm just like, I'll just, I get block happy.
You get block happy?
Yeah. And especially like right now. So, yeah. I mean, I think you all, I hope you all, maybe you saw it. I took it off my story because it gave it too much credit. Someone used a Tinder account.
I saw that.
So, but it's one thing to be catfished. Uh-huh. And so this is like, I think the precautionary, I'm like, warning about like blogging. It's one thing if they just took my photos and used them. Then I'd be like, well, that's kind of flattering and sad for them. But they used my name. I mean, granted, they gave me a four-year age dip. So I was like, I'm not 32, but I'm 36. But I appreciate it.
I was
like, you know, a girl likes to be younger. But so I was like, but also we're in that modern era. So I'm having the IP address found. So I'm like, that would be real weird if it's somebody in law.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah.
That is awkward.
All right.
Well, so those are the things that I would be just, like, cautionary about with social.
Yeah. Use your own name.
Oh, yes.
And just be authentic, too. I mean, honestly, if you're authentic and you speak your own truth, people who want to follow you will follow you. I mean,
honestly, they'll find you.
They'll find you.
Yeah.
You'll give...
Let your weirdo flag fly. Your weirdos will find you. I mean, we're all a little weird. You know what I mean?
So I know. Like, that's
we sniff our own out. You know what I mean? Like, they'll come for us.
So I remember being in the third grade and crying one night because I felt so different than everybody else in my class. I didn't feel like I looked like anybody else. I was like, I definitely didn't have the same style as other people. And I was like, why can't I just be normal? And I remember my mom saying, like, well, what's normal? And I'm like, she's like, no two people are the same. So really, what's normal?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh, I don't really know. And honestly, like the very next day, I was like, I don't care.
My flag is flying.
I'm normal. This is me.
Yeah.
And then it was all downhill from there.
No. Not at all.
I really feel like we're not normal.
No.
None of us are.
This has been the most normal podcast we've had in a while. So really? That's something. But thanks for joining us.
Thank you all for having me. I hope it was beneficial.
No, it was.
And you really travel coming up stuff. Today.
Or Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
We're thanks. Thinking of you. Yeah.
No. Yeah. You guys rock.
Because it's kind of crazy, the TSA getting through there, so.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think about all that with the government shut down and doing anything else. So, yeah. That's going to be interesting. Yeah. So, yeah. I was making sure, did I give all the tips that I wanted to? And I'm like, yes, I did.
Oh, good. Okay.
Here we are.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bella, you're the best. Thank you
so much for joining us.
Come back and see us.
Yes, please.
All right. Bye.
Okay.